All right, thank you, Nate. Hi, welcome. It's Thursday, March 22nd at 5:30. We're in the Veterans Hall. This is the monthly meeting for the Harbor Advisory Board. We'd like to go ahead and get started and do a establish a quorum and call to order. Historically, we've done a regular roll call vote, but we can just do it via just a simple aye. So I'll start over here.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Go around the corner here.
Aye.
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Aye. So we have established a quorum. All right. First, I don't have any announcements per se, but we will start the meeting with a moment of silence. All right, thank you. And then next up will be our Pledge of Allegiance. Councilperson Murray.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I do have, before we jump to the liaison and board member announcements, I would like to say that the Sea Otter Savvy presentation, unfortunately, the individual that was going to present today was unable to make it and will probably be on a further HAB meeting at a later date. And with that, we'll go ahead and start with the advisory member boards and liaison announcements. I guess we'll start with on the far side to my right. All right. Mary, if you wouldn't mind.
I don't have any announcements.
Okay, thank you.
I'll make one small announcement that the Planning Commission, which meets on this coming Tuesday, has, I believe it's the third of a sequence of events, or not events, meetings that pertain to a possible historical preservation ordinance. They've had a couple of speakers dealing with history in some way, like informational speakers speaking to the Planning Commission, and anyone who's interested in historical preservation in the city of Morro Bay might find it interesting to attend the Planning Commission meeting this coming Tuesday at 5:30 here at the Vets Hall. I think the long-term vision might be the drafting of some sort of historical preservation ordinance that people can opt into or out of. Public comment is always welcome at Planning Commission meetings.
Thank you, Sean. Chris, anything you'd like to bring up?
A couple of things about the Morro Bay Maritime Museum. We're still meeting with the City Council, although we have approval of the Coastal Commission, to double the size of our footprint. They're working on details of the lease. But we've got at least three boats and a building that could go up down there, housing the excess maritime historical stuff that we have stored in everybody's garages. We're looking forward to that. And just as long as we're on that subject, for those of you who were around 6 years ago, the San Salvador is coming back. That's a replica Spanish galleon. You'll have to come see it to believe it, but I'll just leave you with this. 6 years ago, we put 10,000 people aboard, locals, tourists, money on the table. It's an impressive display. It lives down in San Diego, and the ink is dry. It's coming in August.
Thank you, Chris. Charisse?
Thank you. My announcements today are for this week. On March 7th, Tuesday, I don't need that call right now. There will be, now I've got it wrong. On March 7th, Tuesday, between 4 and 6:30 at the Coalesce Bookstore will be the Rotary's Let me get that part too. See, I did. They're seeking donations to help with emergency funds for families in Turkey. So they're going to have that meeting there, and there's going to be food served on Tuesday the 21st at Kicker's Restaurant too, for trying to gain funds for Turkey. And then also I wanted to remind everybody that we have the elementary school students doing our boat safety poster for us. They're working on them right now. And on the 21st of March, I'm going to pick all of those up, and we get to pick, I would say, three of us to decide on who gets first, second, and third place. So I'm looking forward to having that at our next meeting. Yep.
Thank you. Lori, anything?
Central Coast Women for Fisheries, we had our annual albacore enchilada fundraiser, and we sold out. I think there's maybe 13 left in the harbor department freezer. So if you need some, come on, let's make it 100% sellout. And then just update, most of the commercial fishermen survived the storms. Yeah, we're pretty happy. Yeah, we're happy about that one. Okay, the docks didn't, but the boats did.
All right, thank you. As Chair, I unfortunately don't have any announcements at this time. So at this point, we will open it up for public comment. If there's any public comment for items that aren't on the agenda or want to speak to the agenda but can't stay, so we're open for public comment. Chair, come on up, sir.
Hi, my name is Chuck Lossness. I'm a member of Morro Bay Yacht Club. I don't live in the city, but I keep my sailboat here. And I was here several months ago and talked about the need for a shipyard boat haul out facility here in the harbor, because actually I need to haul my boat right now. And I'm faced with probably taking it to another harbor to haul it out, since we don't have anything here. And I've been doing a lot of reading since I was here last time. I learned about Measure D. I learned about Coleman Park. I learned about a thing the city put out, I believe it was in 2018, sorry about that, where it's a city priority to have a shipyard boat haul-out facility in Morro Bay. And reading about Coleman Park, what I read, it looked like it was dated in 2008. And again, it referenced a part of that park is supposed to be set aside for haul out shipyards or whatever. And I understand Measure D reserves the north portion of the bay from, I think, Beach North for commercial and residential fishing and services to support commercial and recreational boaters. And my question to the board is, it seems like the city and everybody wants us to have a shipyard boat haul-out facility here in Morro Bay, but it never happens. It's like everybody's dreaming it done instead of doing it done. And my question is, why hasn't it happened, and what would it take to make it happen? That's the end of what I have to say.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, we actually, there's some of us that share that passion with you. We appreciate the public comment. I don't know, Chris, if you wanted just to speak to that. I know you're
sure. I was carrying that sword for a while. A lot of us think, including the fellows that did the study from years ago on feasibility of a boatyard and how to build it, that somewhere in between the intake building, the triangle lot, the stacks, etc., that there is room for a travel of bay on the water side and a small boatyard on the land side. Some of us have talked about making that an ask of Vestra, whatever they are, to let them give us a postage stamp. My concern has been, and I've been on the water all my life, my concern is we can't handle our own emergencies. We can't properly haul a boat if it tries to sink for whatever reason, or needs repairs, or needs maintenance, which leaves you as a boat owner with an option of Avila. If Avila stays after they put probably $2 billion into, you know, the harbor structure down there for the offshore wind, if we even end up with a boatyard there. Otherwise, you're going to Monterey. Santa Cruz is not particularly well run. Ventura is a long way away. So I understand your point, and I've been on it, and I'm not talking out of school because it was in black and white. I got a message, and this has been the problem all along and remains the problem. The message was, through the ranks, from down in a sense, from city council, we're tired of hearing about it. We don't have the money. They literally asked me to stop bringing it up. It became a joke. There are several different splinter groups working on it who firmly believe that this harbor is not a safe harbor without an emergency facility or a maintenance facility, because if you know as a boat owner, if you can't keep up with the boat, it will turn around and bite you. Something will break. Something will cause a loss. And what are you going to do? Drive her over and put her on the sand? I don't think so. So I hear you. And, you know, we've got some new management coming in, stuff like that, some other questions to ask. But I hear you, and I'm on it along with several other of the boys.
May I speak?
Sure, go ahead. Thank you.
When I was in Mexico cruising on my boat, one of the places that I hauled out at used a hydraulic trailer over a launch ramp no better than what we have here. And I think that would be an economical solution to the cost of a travel lift. And the other benefit of using a hydraulic trailer is it doesn't take as much space to store a boat. A travel lift is 20-some feet wide, where a hydraulic trailer, you're looking at the width of the boat plus a foot or two. So you don't need as much space to run, four, five, six boats at a time that might be hauled out here. Anyway, I just thought I'd put that out as another thing to think about.
Yeah, thank you.
commercially, we use either Avila, Crivello's up in Lost Landing, or we'll hit Richmond occasionally. But if you go to Richmond, you put the ladders up on your boat and they let the dogs out at night and you hear gunshots. But I'm dead serious. Commercially, those are the ones we use. So.
Yes. All right. Thank you. I appreciate the comment. We obviously share your passion, so we thank you. Time. It may come up here a little bit later in the meeting, so please bear with us. Again, we appreciate your passion on that particular topic. Any other public comments here in the audience? And we'll reach out to Zoom to see if there's any public comments. Nate?
There are no raised hands at this time.
All right, thank you. With that, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent calendar. This is the part I get a little confused on. Does anybody want to pull an item out of the consent calendar, or should we just receive and file? Anybody? With that, this is just the informal go around the room, right, Lori? All right, so we don't have to do the – Lori and I just got trained, so bear with us. We just need to basically to go around the room and do a roll call on approving the consent calendar. We'll start off with Lori.
Approve.
Charisse?
Aye.
Chris?
Aye.
Mary?
Kel?
You need someone to move.
I
to start the motion.
I missed that piece. Okay, thank you.
I'll motion that we
approve the consent calendar.
Okay.
That we approve the consent calendar as is.
I second it.
All right. Sorry, I did it out of order. Rookie mistake.
Now I say aye.
Correct.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you. Next up, we're going to cover the business items. One thing I would like to do first is item B5. If there's no objections among any of the other board members, I'd like to pull that first. It's going to take the bulk of the time this evening. If there's no objections, and then we'll do B5 first and then pick up the other four in order after that.
Okay.
All right. Any comments? Nope. All right. So the purpose of B5, and again, it's going to take the bulk of the time today, is coming up with the HAB goals that we want to submit to the City Council. Each of us had a homework assignment last time of coming up with a list of goals that we sent to Lori and myself. We've collapsed that into the list here. That's the last two pages in the agenda. I'm going to spend a little time talking about each one. Again, the goal really is to come up with sort of a list of five-ish that we can send to the City Council. In order to do that, we'll kind of spin through these, just talk briefly on each of the items. If there's any questions or clarifications, kind of pick our top five, hopefully as a group. If there's a big divergence, we can kind of start to rank them. After putting these together, there was most of these ones we've talked about before. I think there's some pretty important things for us to work on over the next year or two. Keep in mind that the things that we pick will be the things we'll be talking about, you know, at each of our HAB meetings and working on in various ad hoc committees. Any questions on the process? It's kind of a standard corporate thing that we do, at least I've done a lot of times. It's not a lot of fun, but once we get through it, I think it'll be sort of our marching order. So I feel it's important. All right. What's that? Oh, talk louder. Okay. So I'm going to start with the list here. Again, I grouped it to make it a little bit easier later on under the same headings that the city has for their goals, but they're not in any particular order. We don't have to pick one out of each or anything like that. The first one I'd like to draw our attention to, though, is 2A, which is the Waterfront Master Plan. As many of you know, that hasn't been updated in several decades. That would be something that I think would be worthwhile. There's some passion for it. It would address a lot of the shortcomings that we've already identified. It kind of covers a lot of the other things. Any questions on that one in particular? Any comments?
Boy, that didn't even make my short list.
What's that?
I said that one didn't even make my short list.
Yeah, okay.
Were you planning to sort of go through each item or going across the board with each of our top fives?
I was just going to make sure that each of these were clear first, and if there was anything missing or that wanted to add, we could. Again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I don't want to turn this into a two-hour listen-to-Cal-talk piece of it. So that's the Waterfront Master Plan. I thought it was important, but I'm going to jump up to one. There's A through F, which are just sort of a list of things, and at least from my perspective, a grant writer to be shared, city resources, just kind of working with City Hall a little bit better, you know, for project engineering, similar vein with marketing opportunities for downtown and Embarcadero. Again, trying to share stuff outside of the harbor department out there. D is, you know, looking for long-term revenue sources. We've always talked about that. Lease management and enforcement and compliance. Again, these were things that were provided. I don't know if there's any questions on any of those. The individuals that have submitted it, any clarifications It seems pretty clear to me. We already talked about 2A. If you go down to 2B, I've kind of grouped all of the harbor improvements together. There's funding around the maintenance of the piers there, marine services, which may or may not include a boat, you know, a shipyard, and then more along the land lines, the leaseholder properties, public piers, public docks. And again, safe haven for boats, I think it's sort of a bigger catch-all. Any questions on any of those? Okay. I'm sorry to make this painful, but we'll keep going here. So the 2A, 2B was harbor, 2C was more on the Embarcadero, so more things along the leaseholder property, that area. Traffic and parking, we've talked about quite a bit. Somebody mentioned the bridge across the Morro Creek, which would be kind of interesting. We have spent time previously on the Harbor Walk, you know, getting that extended. Also, one of the suggestions is the Harbor Building, Harbor Department Building. And then actually was sort of unique was the trying to put some more services on the south side of the rock, lifeguard stands, bathrooms, things along those, along the state park property. We're almost through this. A couple other ones that came up was Tidelands Park, and that would include the area south of there as well, that whole area on the very end of the Embarcadero. Coleman Park, we have spent some time on that previously. That's another interesting one. Actually, one that was new to me was an environmental research center. The individual that brought that up isn't here today, but it was sort of an interesting topic. The last two we kind of put in there because somebody else brought it up. I don't know if it's something that we want to pursue. The climate action was one of the city goals. It's pretty broad. I don't know if you know, we can talk about offshore power, but I think we've captured that elsewhere. And then housing needs, there's really not much in the way of housing along the in the harbor department, so not sure if that's something we want to pursue. So with that, I'd like to try to, I guess, go through now and see what people's top five. Hopefully we sort of align. Mary, if you wanted to start.
Yeah, I can go first.
Sure.
My strategy with goals were to both defend our existing assets, such as upkeep of our existing infrastructure, defending the character of the waterfront, such as coastal access and things like that, and maximizing the value and revenue that we're getting from those existing assets. So underneath that theme, my number one goal was a focus on lease management, filling our existing available leases, auditing them, looking at the terms. Also, enforcement and compliance, making sure that people aren't encroaching outside of their leases and protecting that character of the waterfront for our tourists and residents. My number three was improvements. So it was B2 leaseholder property improvements. So that is maintaining our existing assets in order to protect them. My number four was focus on it being a safe haven for boaters of all types for a good 70 years. That's, again, with the theme of protecting the character of our city. And my number five was parking management, which was capitalizing on an existing revenue opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
All right. I share some of the same opinions as Mary, it seems. Of my five, my number one important priority, which is something that I've pushed as an individual citizen at the city level for a number of years, is transparency with respect to lease management, audit, et cetera, which includes the publishing and disclosure of publicly what should be publicly available records, revenue-wise, et cetera, dealing with audit and whatnot. That will help keep us all in line and will be beneficial to the harbor budget long-term. Somewhat related to that, item number two, The Public Works Advisory Board oversees the WRF project. The Citizens Finance Committee oversees Measure E and Q dollars. But the Harbor Enterprise Fund has basically gone without oversight for years, arguably decades, and it sort of falls under the supervision of City Council, but I don't think that's enough. So I think that my number two item would be oversight, public oversight of the Harbor Enterprise Fund, either by CFAC or HAB, if that is appropriate, or a more concerted effort from Council on that item. Number three, Coleman Park. Coleman Park is such an asset, and while we do have some great opportunities with some grant funding coming in, we need to hit the bare minimum first. We need to have a restroom there, which hasn't existed for, I think, what, 4 years now. We need to start making some progress on Coleman Park that does not fundamentally change the park, but makes use of the assets that we do have there in a subtle but useful way that we can enjoy for years, if not decades. Number four, I'm on a public benefits subcommittee of Planning Commission, and something that is coming up in front of Planning Commission in a couple weeks, the idea of community benefits agreements and public benefits and or public benefits agreements when medium to large projects come into town. And that's something that we as a community can proactively push for and encourage in a really mutually beneficial way, where private developers sort of meet the needs of the public, just like the public appreciates the private development investment that comes into the city. So community benefits agreements for large scale projects. And then number five, Harbor Walk continuity and restoration of coastal access. Mary touched on this. This has a little bit to do with lease management, but it's getting that continuous Harbor Walk from north to south. And that may include some wayfinding signage, paint, some sidewalk improvements, and some enforcement for Harbor Walk continuity. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Chris, you want to go next?
No.
Skip? All right, Charisse? All right, Lori, you're up.
I'm going to totally disagree, Sean.
I knew this was going to be fun.
I'm going to make no bones about it. The slips, the docks, the T-pier are beyond pathetic right now. I'll give you a little case. Last week, which with Everstorm, that was 954 for the year. My husband and a couple other guys were down pretty much on and off all night checking on the boats and the slips. Our slip happens to be at the end of Beach Street. The planks were popping. The U's around the posts are gone. Gene did replace a couple of them. Ours didn't. My husband was forced to tie our lines around the pilings and the cleats, because if that U would have gone, that would have pulled our boat into Tom's boat, into somebody else's boat, and it would have created a chain reaction. We already had that January 9th when Alan's boat, the dock did just that. And my husband was going to reverse the boat into our slip for better riding, and it's a damn good thing. Sorry about that. I can't say that. Thing he didn't, because if he would have, Alan's boat, we would have taken everything out the way it would have happened. I understand business owners, you know, you pay your lease fees and stuff like that. We pay too, but our docks are getting at the point where they're unsafe. Down at Tidelands, there's docks that are underwater. I know the other Beach Street ones where the Breida Marie and Bob tie up, they had to put the floats back underneath it. Cleats are popping off. That's just a microspect. I know the city is trying to get emergency funds to replace some of this, but that infrastructure is, I mean, it needs it. It's beyond the critical state. And I told you didn't want me to go first. You know those little signs that say boat owners only? People don't give a blank about them. Okay, they will go out there. If somebody falls, gets hurt, or slips on the docks that are really tipsy, city's got another huge lawsuit waiting to happen. I mean, that's a matter of time. Don't even get me started on the elephant seals. I mean, not the elephant seals, the sea lions. Totally different subject. I'm going to lump this in with the waterfront infrastructure also. The bathroom. Okay, we have one bathroom that services the commercial fleet. There's one down at Tidelands also. The one down here, no reflection on you guys, by the Coast Guard dock, is disgusting. And that's a nice way of putting it. I've been in the bathrooms up and down these harbors with my husband. And let me tell you, when commercial fishermen come to this town, I tell them to come to my house. I mean, it's that freaking bad. It's disgusting. And there is no excuse for it. Okay. Number two. Did I make number one perfectly clear?
Just for clarification, I believe that kind of falls under the scheduled maintenance, repair, replace, sort of 2B.
I'm going to lump that all, yeah, 2B.
What is it, 4, IV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. It thank just, you.
Okay. My number two item was Embarcadero improvements, the new Harbor Department building. I don't know if you guys spend time down there, but, I mean, the limited amount of time I spend down there, it's like, come on, man. It needs to be, they need better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not sucking up, and, yes, I would like a discount on my slip rent for that. but, no, I'm joking. It needs to be cleaned up. Number three, I went up to fiscal goals, 3A. Let's get a grant writer for the city and the Harbor Department. Because once we have that grant writer, we can do some of these other projects. Four was identify long-term revenue sources. That's across the board for the harbor and for the city. Five, I put marine service for long-term expected harbor usage, which is the haul-out facility and things like that. The Embarcadero number six, Coleman Park. Sorry, but I feel that's kind of fluff right now until we get stuff that needs to be fixed. So our businesses, because, you know, the rest of the world doesn't realize it, but each commercial boat out there is a business. And we play a part in this harbor. And in this town. Okay, so that's kind of fluff. Number seven, the Environmental Research Center. Okay, I have to clean up my language for this one, too.
If there's something you don't think we should spend time on, that's fine. It's not that it's a bad idea. It's just not something that we as the HAB necessarily want to spend time on.
Right. That I don't think we need to spend time on, sure. Because I'm pretty sure the Shumash National Marine Sanctuary will cover all that and then some when they come to town.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'll be quiet now.
All right. Thank you, Lori. I appreciate that.
You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead, Charisse.
Okay, so as far as the goals that I looked at, I know that we've been working on a lot of revenue-seeking ways that, you know, the harbor can increase their funds. So infrastructure items that are not owned by leaseholders, the state areas, the docks, the city docks, the city T-piers, so they can get money in order to be fixed. And we've fallen short because, you know, the camping thing didn't work out, and the parking, we're still working on that, and it's not even going to make money. I really honestly feel that, you know, in the fisherman's world, teach them how to catch a fish rather than just give them a fish. So a lot of the ways that we need to think about it is in the attributes that we already have, and we do have businesses that are here, and I know that a lot of people think that the businesses should do more, but being a business owner, I feel that there is areas around us that would actually build those businesses to be more successful, and then when those businesses are successful, the harbor gets more revenue. And so if there is a way that we can build up ourselves as a community and both beautify the area as well, then we will eventually see the money trickling in that we need in order to do the things that aren't obvious to people walking by the Embarcadero. And it will help. So my goals started with updating the waterfront master plan. It was done in the 1980s, and it should be done more frequently than 40 years. There are some really cool old maps of, like, ideas back in, like, 1890. They were going to do it at a playground. That's the reason why we're incorporated now, is because the community did not want a Ferris wheel on the spit. These are the things that we can actually tangibly work on that would really benefit the entire community, where we know what our identity is, what we want to see at Coleman, what we want to see along the sides of the rock. It's also about safety concerns, talking to state parks. Everybody goes out when the waves are really big and they see the rocks crashing over. We need to make that safe. We shouldn't have poles in the ground that can give somebody tetanus. And the roadway should be safer. And if we create this harbor walk and the whole recreational part of the waterfront to be something that tourists come and see, and it's free for them, it will benefit the entire community, because they will eat here, they will partake in things here, and they will enjoy it, and then your own community will like it. So I think it's time to update that, and I think it can have a major benefit to the community, as well as the Tidelands businesses that give to the Enterprise Fund. The second one, and then we also, because of that, we have Vistra going on right now. We have offshore wind, all of those things coming in. It would be nice to have a waterfront master plan that dictates what that should be looking like and what the community actually wants that to be. Huge, small, little, you know, we need to look at it, and it paves the way for what those companies can do when they come in to file the permits. Okay, so my second one is big infrastructure, docks, piers, launch ramps. I think that can pretty much just be in one big infrastructure, revetments, that we need to really look at the harbor improvements that aren't necessarily in our face, but allow us to walk on the area and tie our boats up. Three is parking. I would say we really need to figure out a way to increase our parking spaces as far as parking management goes. We need to find a way, either through grants or from paid parking, but we need to increase, not just manage, but actually increase. And then four is the grant writer. We're leaving money on the table that would really go for almost everything that are our needs for revenue. And if we actually had a grant writer on staff, they would be, they would get that. And because things like fishing, you look at a dock, you look at a pier, and the cost of that pier is never going to be recuperated from rent. And in order to maintain it and to fix it. And so it needs to be done from something like a grant, and I think that that's the right way to go about it. I know that there's nonprofits that's all they do is write grants, and I think that that's a really important thing for Morro Bay to go for. The Harbor Walk, last year, you know, all of the things that we work on, we want to see it come to fruition, and we worked on the continuing of the Harbor Walk through, like, the Tognazzini area and then other areas that are the city-owned areas, and I think it would really be the best thing to start the actual construction of fixing those harbor walks so we have one continuous harbor walk all the way to the rock. That's mine.
Thank you, Cherise. Passion. All right. Chris, you're up, man.
Well, I'm not as specific as some, and I'm the water guy. That's terrifically important, but I'm looking at it from the standpoint of the harbor itself.
I just turned it off.
I did not. I did?
No.
Sorry. Anyway, one anecdote is that we found ourselves a grant writer at the Maritime Museum. In less than 6 weeks, it made a six-figure difference because we got a couple of grants. Grant writers are important. I was aware of them when I lived up north as well, and I'm surprised. Either we don't have a rent-a-writer, because those guys exist too, where you can hire a person to write a grant for you, or write for a grant, and pay them based on the return, or somebody on staff. But so from the standpoint of being the water guy, harbor infrastructure, I completely agree with you, Lori. We're not in good shape. And you've used a couple of terms that I actually wrote down. We've been a safe haven for 70 years. We're not. Let me read this. So harbor infrastructure is a priority. And it's my role as on the Harbor Advisory Board, I have to put that on top. Other people here can represent or discuss things they know about, like being master leaseholders or retailers or whatever it happens to be. But here, this is what I submitted. The harbor docks, piers, and launch ramp and other facilities seem to be in deteriorating condition. In addition, the working harbor has little or no abilities regarding maintenance or emergency repairs to vessels. These are known factors, although some work may be underway. The harbor's been a safe haven for boaters of all types for 70 years. The above conditions alone indicate that we are less so. And don't get me started about liability. I happen to have been in the marine insurance business at one point in my life when I got tired of being at sea. And this is a true story. In Marina Del Rey, a woman walked down a dock in a bikini in spike heels. She got her heel caught in the seam between two dock planks, fell, hurt herself. The city of Los Angeles got sued. The marina got sued. The boat owner got sued. Don't get me started about liability. And just one last thing here, and it is because of, I'm not really frustrated about it, but I'm concerned. We talk about housing, and we talk about these different things here, and it's all well and good. But again, I say, I'm the water guy. When I first moved here in 1967, there were approximately 9,000 people. When I came to visit 2-3 times a year for 50 years, there were about 9,000 people. I moved back here 7 years ago. There are about 9,000 people. But there's this undercurrent that we must build more, that we must develop more. I understand that, and I understand profit, and I understand, you know, maybe some people think bigger is better. My concentration would be on improving what we have and making it work to move forward and expand when, in fact, we're not keeping up with the stuff right behind us, is not something I would support until that stuff right behind us, like piers and docks and launch ramps and bathrooms on the waterfront, are dealt with. And that's the way I viewed the Q&A on this.
Chris, just a couple quick follow-up questions. I think from a priority list, you talked about the same thing Lori did, the planning around the maintenance and repairs of the docks, the associated infrastructure. You also mentioned the grant writer was one of your priorities. Mm-hmm. I think there was a third one in there, but I didn't quite catch it.
Well, I don't know.
That's fine if you only have two.
No, I mean, you know, really, I treated it a little bit more generally than others. But, I mean, use Lori.
Yep, fair enough. Okay, thank you. I'm going to get my 2 cents worth in. The two, I think they kind of go together, but I think they should be separate, is the waterfront plan, the master plan. Again, that gives us an opportunity to get much broader input, cover a lot more topics and very specific things. So I know we've actually, Therese has found some grants. I've talked to Scott Collins, who would help with that as well, help drive some of that. So I think that's something that is a Harbor Advisory Board is well within our wheelhouse. It's something we'd want to ad hoc committee on it. In the short term, to wait for the master plan, to wait to fix, to try to find grant money for the docks and piers, I think, you know, that's something that's, whether it's FEMA money, if we as a HAB can help, I think that's sort of my top two at the moment. As part of the Harbor Advisory Board, although parking is sort of one of those things, I've kind of augured into it, so I'd like to see us continue on because it does cause quite a bit of passion. The other one, in retrospect, I probably should have expanded it, but the Tidelands Park is another area that I think we should focus on, but also include the launch ramp in that piece, because it's kind of all one piece. I know there's some grant money potentially to redo the boat launch ramp, and then that kind of gets into the bathroom, and then it's right next to Tidelands Park. And I think looking at that whole area holistically, include some of the docks possibly, would be another thing that would be a worthwhile in Denver as the HAB. There's my 2 cents worth. With that as a group, I was hoping that we kind of all land on some similar stuff. I think we have a lot of common themes. Is there, given the passion of all of us that you all heard, is there certain goals that we would all willing to compromise? We can sort of try to rank them or so forth. Ted, do you have a comment? Okay. Yeah, I knew this was going to be, this isn't the best venue to go through the goals piece, so we're trying to do the best of it. What I've heard at least myself and a couple others talk about the master lease or the master plan. Is that something that as a group we would want to work on as an ad hoc?
I mean, that's kind of a fringe one. I wouldn't say no or yes to that.
Okay.
Do you want to open it to public comment and then open it to discussion? Is that the right thing? You want to move
sure.
to discussion now? Or
yeah, we can.
Do you want to do public comment before?
I was hoping to see if we could narrow it down, but it doesn't seem like we're going to do that. So at this point, I think I'm going to take your advice, Charisse, and there's cool. people in the audience that would like to make public comment on discussion and sort of the goals that you've heard. We'd be willing to open that up to public comment. So come on up to the podium, sir. Appreciate your input.
Hello, my name is Joe Solano. We live in a mooring here in the harbor. I agree with this gentleman. We desperately need to do something to be able to get our, as far as haul out, and be able to do something boatyard wise other than Joe's boatyard. I like Joe, he's a great guy, but he can only handle so much as far as the boats are concerned. I really agree with Miss Lori. These docks, like the fuel dock, I haven't been there since the storm because I've got issues that we need to be hauled out, but I'm terrified to crawl up to go get fuel. The ladder's not attached to the deep here. I mean, it's a miserable situation. Like Miss Lori said, we've got docks that are in the water. it's a lawsuit waiting to happen. I've got a friend that's a delivery captain who doesn't even like to come to this harbor anymore because of the ill repair of the harbor. And as far as the parking, I've heard that mentioned a lot in Ms. Cherise. I really agree with your idea as far as needing to do more for the tourists. Let's turn that building in behind the stacks into a parking garage. We can charge people to park in it. I know that when we go up to Capitola, they charge them to park on the street. I don't know what it is because I'm a veteran and I don't have to pay. But I mean, anyway, I don't think people would mind paying to park. And then it's something else to do. We could put a movie picture on the back of that. You know, like drive-ins. You know, and we could go watch the movies. That just bring more tourists in, give them something to do, give them something to keep them here, as opposed to running up to Cayucas at night to party and do whatever, and then back and forth. But we really need parking infrastructure, I think, and how to fix the T piers. And as far as parking, those of us who are boat owners, we need to have a place to park. It would be great if one mooring gets one parking spot. You know, I know that with the tourists, and that's hard to do, but like the Margarita Festival and some of these festivals that we have, mm-hmm. Great. I enjoy them. That's part of why we moved here. But the parking is horrible. Those of us who pay to live here shouldn't have to fight the tourists for a place to park. In the infrastructure to the harbor, this is, you know, this is very important. I mean, I know a lot of people that have boats, and a lot of those people don't like to come here anymore because of the poor infrastructure. Right. That's really all I have on that matter.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Cal, could I say a few comments? Thank you. My suggestion for me, because I want direction, I want to know what you want, would be to keep it fairly simple with some broader goals, something that I can go now to the city and council and say, look, you know, we need to do this now. You know, we need to take care of this now. If it's a long-term plan, master plan is absolutely something we need, but, you know, quite honestly, it's a multi-year process to get to it, and believe me, that's going to be part of our plan to get to the master plan. But to have something simple like a financial, like a long-term, you know, and I'm telling you what to tell me, but for me to go to council and say we need a long-term revenue source, we need it, which is, it's going to take more than a year to obtain, but that again gives me something very simple to begin the discussions with, and to, you know, you can even help during that process. But the simpler you can keep this for us, I think the clearer it's going to be for us to do, get things done. So that's just my
comments. You're a part of this as well, so I appreciate that. Input. Public comment's still open. Is there anybody here in the audience who would like to make a public comment? Nate, is there anybody on Zoom that has a hand up at this point?
There are no raised hands at this time.
Thank you, Nate.
Cal. One comment. Sean and I were tallying up what everyone was saying, and so I think he has... I don't know if you have it too, but we could see a line because we had a count of, you know, how many people were hitting on the different things. So we might have a rough ranking of kind of like the top four things that were, that most people were aligned on.
I'll try here, and certainly if you guys heard something different, holler. Infrastructure by far was number one. How we describe that could stay as broad as infrastructure. It could be broken up if needed into land infrastructure and water infrastructure, or we just keep it broad with infrastructure, and that seems to be what everyone was fighting for. And yay! All right. Number two, perhaps if we group all revenue sources together, something like revenue sources which includes a grant writer would fall into that category, perhaps, based on what Ted said and the people's support for grant writing. That seemed to be like the second most thing that people talked about. People talked a lot about parking in terms of what that means. It seems like parking is an issue to address, though it's not clear that we have a path forward. It's just a hot topic that everyone or many people seem to bring up. Again, it doesn't matter. It matters how we phrase these and how we pool them, but perhaps Tidelands Park and Coleman Park and restrooms could be put in some sort of category because all of those were sort of...
Public facilities,
Public facilities, perhaps. Yeah, something like that. Harbor Walk and Coastal Access, continuity and or enforcement seem to be an item. And lease management. Those were all the ones that had... like at least three people chiming in that I could see. Right. Did I miss any?
I think so. This I'm going to ask you a follow-up question. The point you brought up was about keeping it simple. The way it was broken down here was more, a little more concrete. We actually got into very, very specific things. Having it at the level that Sean described, would that be the kind of simplicity, you know, to me these are sort of really broad, never-ending topics, as opposed to if we just focus on Coleman Park, we have a start and finish. If I talk about public facilities, it's an ongoing endeavor that has five or six things in it. Is that what granularity level?
You know, getting into if you get into too granular, I don't even have the background, to be honest with you, as to whether or not it's a possibility. You might be throwing out a great idea that has no chance of going anywhere. And so, you know, having it as a goal almost doesn't make any sense if we all know that. I don't know that at this point. You may know, you know, more than I do. But, you know, as unfortunately, I am new, as you know, and I have a lot of background to gain as quickly as possible to help drive some of these. So the broader goals for me this year and next year, I think, are going to be more helpful because we can get granular meeting after meeting as we talk about these issues right here, as we talk about long-term, revenue sources or the infrastructure. We can get granular, and you can give more guidance during that time. But hitting those major topics, I think, is what's going to help me drive that to city council and city management.
Okay.
One comment on that too, Kyle. I know, like, in business, a lot of times you'll talk about, like, OKRs, objectives, and key results. So I think if we have something as improving infrastructure or, say, like, public facilities as a goal, and we say, you know, the what, and we just leave the how to later in the year, maybe it's Measure E dollars, maybe it's a grant, maybe it's something like that, and then we'll figure out the how during the year.
Yeah, I'm kind of digging the four categories personally. The infrastructure, revenue, parking is sort of a standalone piece, and then public facilities. And I think that captures, and again, this is my opinion, I'm going to open it up, captures broadly the passions that all of us spoke to. I'm going to reach over here, Lori.
I just have a question. It's kind of on topic, but
sure,
kind of not. This is information seeking. Lori, since you've been with the city the longest here, I think, do you know past grants? Because I know the city has gotten them. Who has written them? Do we have anybody in the city that does that?
We don't. No, we don't have a grant writer. We just take it on department by department. I write our grants for our DBW grants, for VTIP, AWAF, and for equipment. Public Works writes their grants. You know, each department does their own grants.
Okay.
We don't have a specific grant writer for the city.
Any other questions, Lori, comments?
No, I was just wondering how it had been done in the past, because I'm just thinking out loud now, that if we had a person that was solely meant to do that, could the city handle that? And would that person have enough expertise in all the departments?
Yeah, we pursued this with people up the hill, so to speak, to see. And I think there's an opportunity not solely for HAB, but for the whole city.
Oh, yeah, it would definitely be the whole city.
So, go ahead.
If I could address that a little bit, because I'm becoming more knowledgeable myself on the city's intention regarding grants, and I understand the importance of grants as I do also. Grants are very technical, so it's difficult for harbor staff, for city staff, to get into that technical detail and actually be successful. We've had discussions, and we have identified some specific grant writers for the maritime industry. So that's a discussion, in fact, this past week being in Washington, we had. And I think the city understands that grant writing for the harbor is so specialized, they don't even want to attempt to do it. And we are going to begin looking at specific grant writers for specific grants. And the hard part of that, too, is finding the specific grants that will fund our specific needs. So it's we need both. You know, we need someone who can write grants, and we need someone who can find grants. And we're going to find a path to that. So I think as we go through the year, I think we'll start seeing some progress with that.
On a side note here, I have a specific grant that I want the Harbor Department to apply for. I will talk to you at a later time about it, but I'm on this grant board, and it's from NOAA, and we wrote the notice of funding specifically for this.
Perfect. Thank you, Lori. Therese, I know you had some comments.
I will say that as far as the waterfront master plan, that there is an active grant out there that if the city puts in 25% of what the cost is to do the waterfront master plan, they will give grant funds to go towards that. So that was the other part that would help in making that a possibility. It is a big thing to work on, but again, with all of the things that we have, offshore wind, Coleman Park grant, state parks, dealing with whose jurisdiction of the rock it is, these are all things that have laid fallow, and we haven't done anything because it would be good to have direction on those. So, but there is a grant to file for composing the waterfront master plan.
All right, Teresa, I had another question for you. Given the four categories there, I feel that there's consensus, at least on the harbor side of it, that we have coverage for the topics we want to work on. Since you represent the leaseholders, do you believe those categories cover the needs of the leaseholders the way we've described it? These are the four broad categories that Sean articulated a minute ago. So it's infrastructure, revenue, parking, and then public facilities, which is like the parks, the bathrooms, the harbor walk, possibly the harbor department building.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as far as like just looking at it from a business perspective, any improvements around are beneficial. Parking is definitely beneficial. I guess.
I just want to make sure that we weren't ignoring the leaseholders.
Well,
the equation.
It all benefits leaseholders. I will say this as far as, all the leases are different, states of repair and maintenance. I know that I've spent the most money on maintaining my property. I do feel that a lot of the brunt goes to the sublease tenants. So those are all the little businesses that are around, and they do pay more than you would find in on like Hygera Street. The rent and the percentage combined is more than having a place on the Hygera. So it is one thing to ask them to maintain and do it, and that they need to go into the guidelines. But I do want the community to know that Doing business in Morro Bay is probably the most expensive that I've ever witnessed, and we want to keep those people because they benefit the community with their sales tax dollars and their Tidelands funds. So anyway, any improvements, I think that the business community would be very grateful. I know that as far as revenue-seeking ways for the harbor, taxing and auditing and pushing more on leaseholders might end up in a negative response of, like, you know what, I'm just going to go to another rental or another lease. So.
All right, fair enough.
What if we add tenant relations? We had talked about that before. So some sort of like lease management and tenant relations or something that is more of a positive relationship. And that would be a fifth category if we wanted to add a fifth category.
I don't know. I mean, I am the spokesperson, and I go around and I talk to everybody, and I try and get feedback on who cares about parking, who cares about that. I think it. I mean, it's worth an outreach. I mean, we could do that no matter what. I don't think that it could be a city council goal, though.
All right. Ted is a goal. We talked about the four. I think we're kind of coalescing around those four, sort of that, you know, mall owner kind of concept. Is that something that, you know, kind of falls in the radar being a good landlord?
Are you referring to the lease management piece of it?
I mean, there's a whole bunch of different pieces under there. That, you know, you talk about code enforcement, making sure all the leases are up to date, but
right.
Also making sure that you as a mall owner are attractive to businesses.
And that is something I think we need to, I would like to see somehow articulated in here, because really it is the harbor's goal to have all of the leaseholders be successful. So lease management, you know, is an administrative piece that we need to do no matter what. But seeing that everyone is successful, you know, should be a part of our goal too, however that's done. So I'm not sure how to term that, but I think it should be included.
I think Sean had a pretty sneaky term over there.
We're just spitballing here. Leaseholder relations, tenant relations. It's some sort of like positive skewing. I feel passionate about the management and the audit and the transparency and the disclosure, but I also recognize that we want to create a positive environment. Relations is the best I have so far.
Yeah, leaseholder relations, I think, could be a relatively benign title, and then we could flesh that out. So I think we have five. Is that if we ended up five and we're only 40 minutes into it, I think I exceeded my expectations here.
I know.
So with that, I think we have our five sets of goals. Again, I'm going to kind of just do a voice vote. Actually, Sean, since you did such a good job, if you could just repeat the five again.
It seemed like the ones that were the highest vote getters. These aren't my articulations. I'm just relaying what everyone said up here. That infrastructure was by far the number one. I think it might have even been unanimous, and that is pretty all-encompassing along the waterfront. So waterfront infrastructure or just infrastructure, depending on what we want to call it. Number two, revenue sources. Which includes a potential grant writer and any revenue considerations. Then public facilities, which potentially has encapsulates restroom facilities, parks, things like that, of which we have a couple up there. Even parklets even could be in there. Parking was pointed out. That was pretty open-ended. It's just parking. That could be a lot of different things. It can be, we assume it's parking solutions or creative solutions or paid parking management or whatever that might be, but parking, generally speaking. And then five, I think the latest was something about leaseholder relations.
All right, thank you.
Give us a place to start.
So I'm just going to, again, it's a voice vote to see if that's what we want to use for our goals. I guess I'll start with Mary on the end.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Aye.
Yes. Yes.
And Cal's yes as well. We have goals.
So was that just to getting a consensus, or were you trying to...
So this was what the HAB wants to use for their goals. I think there should be a future agenda item to flesh those out a little bit more to make them useful to put the city council, but we have a starting point.
I motion to approve a set of five goals, of which... do I need to repeat them, or we're good to go? I think we just articulated them. So, yeah, we motion to approve the list of HAB recommended goals to City Council.
I second the motion.
Thank you.
Vote, right? Oh, they already did the vote.
Yeah,
or do you want to do it again?
Sure. Sorry, I'm another rookie mistake. I didn't think that'll order again, so... either yes or no. Approve the goals.
Yes, I approve the goals.
Yes.
Cal's yes as well.
Aye.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I knew it took a little bit of time. We're going to jump back to the top of the business items now. We will start with item B1, which is parking. I don't know, Charisse, if you want to give us a brief update from parking. Or do you want me to?
I think I want you to, because something was pulled, and I don't know why.
Okay. So the parking ad hoc did do a little bit of work as a committee before this meeting. We found an opportunity to potentially do some add to the parking stock in Morro Bay based on the recent repaving. Socialized that. We were going to do a formal position about potentially restriping Pacific Street diagonally or perpendicular, in that there is an ongoing study at the city to look at parking generally throughout the city. Although there was an opportunity to potentially paint the lines differently, because that other study wasn't done, the timing wasn't appropriate to put that forward via the Harbor Advisory Board. We continue to look at that. Again, that's why we have parking listed as a topic going forward. So that's our update at this point.
A little bit more. I know that we had a public comment today in regards to liveaboards possibly getting a permit. We did look into that because that made sense to the parking management ad hoc committee. We did find out that Coastal does not approve of any specific spaces being allocated, nor do they say that a permit can be given to one individual if it's not given to everybody. So just FYI, for liveaboards or business owners, all of them, as far as the California Commission, you're not allowed to have a parking permit. It's very frowned upon. I do know that we had a meeting set up, so it looks like the study group for parking is going to get together again. Hopefully we'll have something next time.
Does this mean I need you to feed my meter when my husband's out fishing?
Well, currently there's no movement forward for the paid parking part.
Okay, good.
So not this year, but we'll check it back in. That was one of the reasons why we tried to find some extra ways to our extra parking spaces, at least for this next summer. Hopefully we'll have something next time.
Yeah, we haven't gotten any direction specifically from the new council on parking management, and there's a ongoing study that we're waiting for the second Walker study to come out and be disseminated among all the advisory boards. So right now it's the status quo. Nothing imminent at this point. Any other questions? Go ahead, Chris.
You do remember I'm on that committee.
Yes.
Thank you. As background, this parking thing is extraordinarily difficult. Mark Tognazzini thinks we should just charge down at the Rock, make a ton of money, and not charge on the Embarcadero. Embarcadero vendors think we should charge so that they get more rotation in front of their stores so they can get more opportunity to introduce themselves to more people. Liveaboards are going to get, you put the word in there, recreational boaters are going to have the same problem with this. We don't have a parking problem. We have too many tourists. But that's how we make our money these days. It's not like we have the military here that we had in 1941, or a fairly large commercial fishing fleet with all the fuel docks and all the money to be made there. We need to talk, by the way, about Richmond. So anyway, the parking situation is difficult. There are people who want a parking structure or two. Parking structures, according to Walker, cost $30,000 to $50,000 per space. Want to build one with 30 spaces? Got any money? What is that, $900,000? Oh, Walker also says parking structures, 98% of them don't break even. They don't profit. So this parking deal started out, we were full of vim and vigor about it and figured we could make something happen. It's extraordinarily complicated. I'm glad that process has slowed down.
Okay, you, Chris.
Can I ask a question? A few years ago, the dirt lot next to the stacks was temporarily created to, as a boat storage facility on top of several dirt lot spaces. Is that planned to be in perpetuity, or are there talks in the near future about opening up some spaces right there and storing lots boats elsewhere?
My understanding is, and Lori and Ted might have more information, is that it was temporary. You know, it was kind of like the RV camping. It was a way for it to get some additional revenue. And then depending on the direction of the paid parking, that would be sunset, and those boats would have to find another place to live. With a lot of the other things going on in the whole triangle lot, it's still uncertain, but it is a revenue source minor. I don't know, Ted, if you had anything else to add to that, you can still play the new card.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I have some knowledge of what's going on with the parking study. You might have more than I do at this point. I know it is extremely complicated. You add here, and it takes away here, and it just, you know, it doesn't really work out. Many, many issues. I think it's going to need to be vetted pretty thoroughly to determine how and if it's going to work at all.
As far as the triangle parking lot, I do know that you mentioned that you're doubling your footprint with the Marine Museum. That was part of what parking was available. That's awesome. The museum is awesome. It's a good use of space as far as over in that general area. But in total, parking spaces are only being taken away right now. There's none on the horizon, and the parking that we do have that is available to the public is going to eventually get cut off as far as Market Plaza goes. So I really think that it needs to be more, not less. We're going in the wrong direction, and we're going to charge for it. So anyway, it's disconcerting.
All right. Thank you. I think that's it for parking.
Just a clarification, if I could.
Go ahead.
All right. So this fabled triangle lot, the stored boats are likely to go away. The area that the stored boats are in is to be set up as overflow free parking with signage so that tourists can find it. The extension of the footprint of the museum is just a straight extension down toward the fence line along that Embarcadero wall with a pathway on the outside of it for walkers and stuff. Point being is, so there is additional parking coming there. The stored boats go away. The terrible idea of having setting it up as campsites has gone away. Everything you want to know about bad dogs came out of that. Anyway, so that is what's happening in the triangle at this point.
All right, thank you, Chris. With that, I think we can close. We have public comment. Okay. Any public comment on parking? Nope. Nate, do we have anybody on the phone?
There are no raised hands at this time.
All right. Thank you. That closes item B1. This moves on to item B2, which is the Marine Services. Chris, I'll let you speak to that.
There are no real changes in Marine Services, and we've hit on several aspects of it here. The stuff is breaking. Stuff is better than it was in some respects, but stuff has been broken up in storms. And there is no progress to date on the ultimate Marine Service, which would be the boatyard or some sort of facility. Boaters are strange animals, and they understand what it's like when they spring a leak or there's an electrical short or whatever. And they need a place. They need to call 911. So you can call 911, which is the equivalent of calling the Harbor Patrol, and the Harbor Patrol can come side tie, and they can, I don't know, take you around in circles until fire goes out. I don't know. They can provide you with a pump. They can't fix the hole in the bottom of your boat. So I think that the Marine Services is holding its own. I also think that it could be a lot better. Thanks.
Can I ask a Marine Service question? It might be for Chris or for maybe for Lori. I know that the federal government and a number of big dogs have come out with feasibility studies with pretty significant ports and potential locations in Slo County. And I've seen renderings. Basically, we as residents of Morro Bay are sort of in the dark on this, unless we watch the news or access some of these reports. And I saw Marine Service. You know, there's the potential Marine Service footprint as part of the Vistra project and whatnot. So we see these like bits and pieces of reports that are out there. Do we know if there's a plan either at the Harbor Advisory Board level or at council level to have any conversations or to present these feasibility studies to the public in any kind of way? You see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to figure out a way that things are happening in Morro Bay but not really in city government, if you will. And so I'm just trying to see how residents can access that information and be a part of that conversation.
And you're referring to the offshore wind?
Yeah, they're mostly related to the offshore wind lease sites and the feasibility studies for port construction and infrastructure.
So I can give you some information that I have after going to Washington this past week. We met with the Army Corps. We met with U.S. Maritime Administration, Department of Transportation, Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management. That's the organization that has actually issued the leases. We met with all of the senators in our district and our congressmen regarding this. Liz Klein, who is the director for BOEM, just came on board. She did not even she wasn't on board when the leases were even issued. It's very confusing to us. I'm not even certain they understand exactly what's going on, to be honest with you, and to be fair. At this point, what they've issued is more or less an option for these companies. It's not a full lease. They don't have legal access to that area as their property at this point. It's a 5-year option to go through the environmental process which is going to be, as you can well imagine, pretty strenuous for them to determine if they can pass that piece of it. If they get to that point, then BOEM will issue, you know, the 60-year lease or whatever it might be. Regarding community benefits, that's really what's going to address infrastructure for the harbors that end up supporting this. The REACH study that I haven't read at this point, but I heard a lot about it while I was there. I know our mayor, you know, understands it fully. I think she's on that committee, has made some initial determinations as to which harbor is best suited for what activity. You know, and Morro Bay is high on the list for operations and maintenance, basically. You know, what that means, we don't know. BOEM doesn't know. The potential leaseholders really don't know. Either they don't know, and I'm going to be frank with you, from my discussions with these organizations and listening to some of the questions, either they don't know or they don't want to tell us yet. I don't know. But there is a lot of misinformation out there at this point that is, you know, not fully vetted. You know, we're hearing about the whales. BOEM has their opinion on that. Other organizations have their opinion on that. We know there's tons of issues. Our commercial fishing industry has been hammered, you know, for decades, and now here's another issue, you know, potentially affecting them. You have the organization. The tribe that wants to, you know,
open. Chumash.
Chumash, thank you. I'm sorry. Quite honestly, we met with all the organizations, all the heads of those organizations, and we didn't get a complete picture as to what's going on.
I'll be happy to forward every one of my emails on offshore wind to you.
You might have more information.
I'll say yes to that for a week and see how it goes.
But there's
or I can give you a contact to follow up who can answer pretty much every question. Okay.
I would like that, too. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to kind of close the loop on this a little bit. We still have some more discussions. But the Marine Services ad hoc last year kind of looked at the status quo of where we're at. Chris kind of alluded to there's some minimal services, but there's not a lot for boat owners. You know, you have to go somewhere else to really get some heavy services. With some of the changes, again, this stuff is a long game to get a, you know, travel lift or a boatyard recommissioned in the area. So I think it's worthwhile to, you know, kind of continue to look at that. It kind of folds into the master plan, infrastructure. And so there's a lot of elements to sort of start to revisit that from a looking forward lens, especially if we get somebody to pay for it. Any other questions about the Marine Services? All right. Any public comment? Nope. All right. I told you we were going to talk about it, and we did. All right. With that, we'll go ahead and close item B2. I don't think we have to make a motion or anything on that. Finance and budget ad hoc. We did a little bit of brainstorming about 2-3 weeks ago. Mary, if you want to.
Yeah, the Finance and Budget Committee met since the last meeting. We discussed what we think some of the goals should be. We also aligned that previously we had submitted kind of top what we thought the top Measure E asks for the harbor to the city should be. And so we'd like to, again, kind of share that information with the harbor director as what we think those Measure E funds for safety and public safety and cleanliness should be, such as funding the lifeguard program. We also discussed the two main opportunities for grants that we saw that we'd like to discuss with the new
Harbor Director, as well as the City Council. These are shoreline erosion grants that could bring money to fix the revetments. We had previously started on these grants but stalled because they require matching funds. The other grant is a launch ramp grant, which would cover things like updated fish cleaning stations, bathroom accessibilities, launch ramp, and things like that.
Thank you, Mary. Anything, Sean? No. So the only thing I was going to add is we can find grants. That's why we were, you know, hot on a grant writer. We've kind of hit that wall a couple times over the last 2 years. I'll mention that we can find them. It's getting them is the hard part. I think that any other comments about the budget and ad hoc? Go ahead and open up public comment. Any questions from the audience? No? Nate, anybody on the line with their hand up?
There are no raised hands at this time.
All right. Thank you. His mic doesn't work either. with that, I think we come now to wrap up before declaration for future agenda items. Anybody have any future? I have one or two, but...
Cal.
Outreach. Oh, did I miss the outreach? Oh, I'm sorry. All right, we'll do outreach next. Thank you. Sean, since you had your hand up, I'll let you go first.
I have one small thing. I reached out to Scott Graham, the community development director. What I'm trying to get going is a kind of inventory of all signs on the waterfront. There have been a couple different efforts in terms of, like, what inventory of signage we have, like informational signage. We put one in 8 years ago, then we put a different kind of sign in 3 years ago, and I'm trying to just see what we have out there and build a list of signs that we have along the waterfront, maybe create a kind of system long term so that's not so much one-off put sign here and there, and maybe with some sort of long-term goal of having whether it's a walking tour or at least some sort of color-coded system where certain color signs mean science and some mean culture and history or whatever that might be. So anyway, very, very ground floor effort, and it is starting now.
Thank you. Mary, anything? All right, thanks. Go to Member Bale.
I'll stick with the San Salvador coming to town in August. Get in line. It's impressive, and you get to get on the thing and wonder how these sailors got anywhere, because it's really primitive but historically accurate stuff, except for the two John Deere diesel engines. That's another story. I invite anybody, come down to the museum, whether we're open or not. There are boats on display outside. It's amazing. When we had our fun day this last summer, which was hugely successful, we had people going, I didn't realize what this was all about. So come see it. Mm-hmm. It's across the street from GAFCO.
Thank you.
It's where that submarine is.
Yep. Thank you. Cherise?
The Chamber of Morro Bay has been doing quite a few things. They did the squeaky wheel. There is a March mixer 2023 at 407 Morro Bay Boulevard. I used to have a shop there. March 8th, 5:30 to 7. It's a great area to any of their things. They have Breakfast on the Bay. Go to their website. Go to Facebook. But Breakfast on the Bay, they always have really important topics to discuss. So they're really on top of it for offshore wind. It's just a good thing, even if you're not a business, to go and listen in, because it's all about facts, 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 facts. The Embarcadero Master Leaseholders is one of the other outreach groups that I have, and Kathy Novak, who has been a pillar of the community and amazing help for a lot of voters and businesses. She used to be a prior mayor. She is going to step down and retire and move out of the area. So that is somebody that you should definitely meet with before. I said that
she shouldn't be allowed to leave.
I know. going to the desert is the last thing, but I'll talk to her. But yeah, she's retiring, and so I think we should all pick her brain because she's a vital and a great asset to Morro Bay and especially to the harbor.
Thank you, Charisse. Lori, anything?
How about public engagement or outreach for commercial fishing to let the rest of the world know what's going on? Does that count? We're looking at a very, very real possibility. We may not have a salmon season this year. That's going to hurt badly, really badly. We'll know more in the next few weeks. That just came out yesterday. The commercial fishermen also have meetings with the Windhold leasers. The three companies. Those are in a couple weeks. If I could name the three companies off the top of my head, I would, but I can't. And positive note, the Central Coast Women for Fisheries have approval, and the final designs are in for our educational outreach signs along the Embarcadero that explain the different fisheries.
All right. Cool. Thanks. I do have a question on that. You mentioned it. I know there used to be an individual that was helping the fishermen negotiate with the offshore winds, Castle Wind. Would that individual or somebody in that group be able to come and talk about the offshore wind project here at the advisory board at some future date?
I would think so. I would think Tom Hafer is the president of the Commercial Fishermen's Association, and he has been in the hunt the entire time. He knows more about it. Well, he and Mike Conroy know the most about it, I would think. But, yeah.
Something we can talk about for a future presentation.
Yeah, it's going to be heavily slanted that we don't want it, but, yes, I can give you that information.
All right, perfect. Thanks. Chair, unfortunately, I don't have any outreach updates at this point, so if we open this for public. No.
Can I have one more thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Since Castle Wind's bids were not successful, we're back to the drawing board with the three companies. Equinor. I have them at home. I don't know. But so we're back to the drawing board. They have not committed. With Ala and Castle Wind, we had a community agreement, you know, for the fishermen. And these three companies, we don't. So.
All right. Thank you. All right. I think that wraps up B4, and that put this on to agenda item C, declaration of future agenda items. Is there anybody that would like to add a future agenda item at this point? I have one. Okay, I'll go ahead and start. This is kind of a follow-on, and it's actually an idea that Mary actually threw out there. So for the five different goals that we had, if you sort of an independent assignment is, you know, what would be those things that you would measure success? So think of it through the lens that we're going to form some ad hoc committees. You as an individual HAB member may spend some time on this. How do you define success in, you know, revenue? You can send them back to Lori. Again, sort of that independent study piece. And again, that's going to help us figure out how we want to organize our group and our work going forward and how we can contribute. Hopefully that makes sense. And it won't be as elaborate, but we can go through and start to talk about forming committees. You know, the goals will take a while to roll up to the city and come back down. But I think there's a few pressing issues, mostly around infrastructure, that we could probably get a lot of traction on in the short term. All right, so that's my future agenda item. Charisse? Do we have to do a motion for that, Lori, for a future agenda item?
You just need board consensus. No motion.
All right, no motion. Because is that something that...
I'm generally supportive of a discussion where we recalibrate all of our committees and start from scratch. Maybe that, I'm not sure in terms of timing. I think council probably puts together the goals in May-ish. So I think, yeah, somewhere coinciding with that, I think would be a great idea.
Okay. So kind of take that and roll it into, you know, the beginning of reforming the ad hoc committees. Okay. I guess we'll kind of go from a consensus. Is that something that the rest of the board, I'll look to Mary, is that something you would, a little bit of homework, and then get back and talk about the ad hocs?
Yes.
Sean, I assume you're on board. Chris?
Sure. Yes.
All right. All right, I think that's a consensus.
So the future agenda item is to reform?
It's twofold. Is kind of like we had the homework here, so as to take the five goals as we've agreed to earlier and sort of take it to the next level of looking at what is that goal, how do we know we're successful in looking at infrastructure, revenue, parking, public facilities, and leaseholder relationships.
Okay.
And they'll send it kind of the same venue. They'll send it back to you. We can consolidate it when we put together the agenda. Talk about as a group and see how we want to form those committees and who has interest in each individual one. Make sense?
Kind of like a work planning
yeah.
process? Okay.
Yeah, it's basically the follow-on to the goals. Anybody else have a future agenda item? With that, I think it's adjourned. All right. Thanks, all. I appreciate everybody for joining for the audience, and thank you. AGP, the meeting's over.